advertise how, on the website?
And in science and in different...
There still seems to be this pattern that's been there since the 1930s of kind of slow growth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any problems in that? Or is that just kind of...
Well, the board has authorized us to go to 200 meetings a year. So they will run 175 mm-hmm. next year. And so far, they've taken what I would call a watchful waiting point of view, you know, and as long as the feedback from the field, as long as our customers, you know, say that, you know, they really like what's happening, operationally, we're a hugely different business than we were 10 years ago. I mean, Alex went to every conference and he shook the hand of every chair and knew a lot of them. You know, knew a lot of these people, were close friends.
And was physically ejected by at least one.
Alex and Harry are very good friends these days. I was at that conference when that happened.
That's when you said you wanted to be a director.
But one problem is really suitable siting, you know, and how you make that work. I could run 100 conferences a year in California and mentor, but the market demand doesn't seem to be there. We run about 35 a year there, and everybody who wants to go there is there. And that's perhaps because it's during the winter and you know, the interference with the academic.
Okay.
We seem to have tapped out the New Hampshire school situation. I just don't know of any additional places up there that are really available and suitable.
What, is there any reason you shouldn't go to small colleges in the South, the Midwest, the this, the that?
Well, say Jerry and I were down in Raleigh last week and visited North Carolina State University, which is not exactly a small college. Several years ago, Alan Kelly and myself visited a small college in Virginia, not far from there. And that time the board said it's too hot in the summer. You know, they don't want people go down there in July. They're just going to have to stay inside. You know, mm-hmm. And it's hot as hell in some of those places.
Mm-hmm.
We're now in Maine, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island.
Okay.
So, and...
So New Hampshire is a euphemism.
Yeah, right. New England. And this year we started at Colby and Bates, and it's promising up that way. We may wind up with 30 or 40 meetings in a cluster, you know, around that part of Maine. Mm-hmm. The summer seemed to work pretty well up there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are mm-hmm. small colleges up mm-hmm. there that we can use.
Where are the Oxford meetings
called? Queen's College.
Well, there are about 20 other colleges available.
Yes, and my connection with Queen's was from when I did a sabbatical at Oxford in 74-75. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how we wound up there. And it was my hope was that I could turn Oxford into the New Hampshire of Europe. And I toured all over Oxford, and I didn't get a nibble from anybody else, really. Mm-hmm. But Jerry was over there this summer and got a very good response from Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had talked several years ago with Maudlin, mm-hmm. and I got an email from them actually just a couple of weeks ago and say, hey, you know, we don't have any summer business now, and I'm sure you guys wouldn't be interested.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be back there in about 2 weeks, so we may have more... expansion space there than I had thought.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of sensitivity in our clientele that the UK is not Europe.
We won't discuss what it is.
That's right. But there are people that want us on the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
And France and Italy are most likely, and we do have a site in Switzerland that we use very often.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What has stopped you, from just building your own facility? 50 weeks a year, one facility that can host three conferences at once?
I thought about that a good deal, and I think in the long term that could well be where we'll wind up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, 10 years ago we had no assets at all. Right now I have $16 million in liquid assets in the bank.
That's very healthy. Rates of appreciation.
And if the goddamn stock market hadn't dumped all over, so we'd be a lot more than that. But and I think quite possibly to have an Asilomar type place on the West Coast and a similar place on the East Coast could well be. But when I came here in 93, I spent a lot of time the first year assessing how this organization was and kind of where we should be going. And then I invited all of the past chairs of the board to a one-day session out at the university. Has another campus west of I-95,
mm-hmm.
and we met out there, and they have a meeting center out there, and Fred sat in the front row with his cane with his hands on top of it, and I got done. He said, "All right, Carl," he says, "you tell me how much this is all going to cost."
Because you were outlining some of these ideas.
Yeah, some changes in operations and what we needed to do and what our opportunities for growth were. One question I asked was, we have a very well recognized brand name. Should we do any fundraising? I said, no. You don't divert your attention. Run your business. And I think the board is now at a point where they would consider doing some major fundraising with institutions. And if we were going to build, I would build a double site, not a triple site.
Mm-hmm.
And this building cost me $1.5 million. So to build two first-class lecture halls, Motel 6 type dormitories, dining facilities for a double site, I guess you're talking about $30 million construction project, maybe. And that, we could probably bite that off sooner or later. But the Centennial campus at North Carolina State might not be a bad place to build something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got 1,000 acres right next to Research Triangle, very upscale businesses going in there.
Mm-hmm.
Could maybe even get it financed out of some combination of Research Triangle and some other places.
Yes, That's interesting. Allied territory is, over time, the center of gravity has kind of moved from chemistry towards biology. If you survey the world out there, say, what about the social sciences?
Well, I would rephrase your question, your statement a little bit. I think over time, the center of biology has moved to chemistry.
Okay, I won't that.
And the definition of the Gordon conferences, this is, say, in the 30s, it was called the Chemical Research Conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do now really is atomic and molecular science.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the common thread through everything from geophysics to neurochemistry. It's really, if somebody comes to us and says they want to look at the atomic and molecular basis of fill in the box, then we do fine. I think other organizations would do well to use this type of methodology, and I would be delighted to coach them. When I was in Tokyo a couple of weeks ago, that was the theme of my visit with
JSPS, Riken, and other people that if Japan would start an organization similar to the Gordon Research Conferences, I would be very happy to coach them and interact with them. If they then had meetings that needed international exposure and back and forth rather than my reign, you know, a worldwide organization with 14 people. But I had a very good friend for several years who was dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at American University, and she was a Shelley scholar. And I tried to encourage her to, you know, I mean, you people don't have any money, right? And she would smack me when I said things like that. I mean, I would think doing things in this economical way would be very useful. But I just could never really get any response from her.
Slightly different question. From your own experience and from what you've heard, can you talk about what I'll call flagship conferences and seminal moments? I mean, you've mentioned metals and biology, and there are certain conferences that are very robust and central in certain ways to their field or what you will. There also there is a folklore of things that came out of Gordon Research Conferences. Can you just talk to those two issues?
Well, I mean, some things like natural products, you know, goes back to the 50s when Carl Durassi and some of these other peoples, and it was really focused on cholesterol types,
yes.
Types of things, and it has remained, you know, incredibly healthy. Heterocyclic chemistry and inorganic chemistry, organometallic chemistry, organic reactions and processes, the enzymes and cofactors conference actually goes back into the 30s. It was called vitamins. They really have had a self-sustaining constituency that was able to regularly reinvent itself and, you know, and keep the graduate students coming in. They learned about it in graduate school. They came back as they moved into, you know, new but related areas. They took the conference with them. And so we have, fortunately, a nice core group of meetings that perform very reliably and have a very dedicated constituency that goes with them. And, you know, they're up at Kimball Union or Colby Sawyer or Proctor Academy, and if you tried to move them out of there, they would be a revolution and they would lynch you. And they seem to be very happy. And they're internally self-administered, so they develop their own conventions, their own traditions, and as long as they don't turn out to be hugely contrary to the way that we run the business, then that's all right.
What you mentioned in conversation before we started this, Dudley Hirschberg. And molecular beings is one example of something with a very strong, an innovation with a strong Gordon connection. Can you point to others that you've been told about?
Well, this is something that I would really like to find out through our exercise. I think this would be one of the very most important things that we could find out. And I've been told anecdotally from time to time about things, and I guess I should have dashed someplace and written them down, you know, immediately. And people put a great deal of value on important things being announced for the first time at a Gorton conference. People choose this as their venue to tell their colleagues for the first time. I would really be more interested in things that sort of came up from the grassroots and were created from from the interactions at the Gorton conferences. And like nucleic acids and proteins was a meeting before that was split up. It used to meet at New Hampton School in the 50s. And I've been told that there were regular discussions at that meeting as to what the genetic code was, and that when Marshall Nirenberg first figured it out, that's where he made his initial report of it. But he was a regular participant in that meeting, I believe, and probably a lot of that strategy for its being a triplet and everything probably, you know, could well come out of those discussions.
No, I'm asking the question because just anything that you have to, if you get it onto the tape, it will have been written.
Right.
And that's obviously something that we look to find other information.
But the strategy is to how to capture that information, which your questionnaire is part of. But I think we might do better to focus only on that for one round of questions and make a very accessible place on our website and encourage people to come just to address that question.
I think we're getting to the end of our question list. Arthur, have you got other
No, I think we've,
on
we've for what we can perhaps call an initial meeting with Carl Storm, we may want to pick this up again.
All right.
Once we're further into it on our end.
Carl, anything else you'd like to say at this moment for the record?
Well, as far as the oral history goes, I think you've probably found out more than I know about the Gorton conferences.
Okay, well, we'll thank you.